You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Well, look at this, everybody. It's another Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. I'm Shane. He's Brent, as always. Hey, you know the routine by now. Brent, we're looking forward to rounds 5 and 6 at ERX Motor Park, the ERX Off-Road National. It's quickly become one of the most exciting tracks ever in off-road racing, for my money. What do you think?
I totally agree. Ever since they debuted that track, the Carlson family and the Playstead family did a wonderful job laying it out, and they're not scared of making changes as the years go on. And it does create awesome excitement for the fans, the announcers, the racers. I mean, to see elevation is one thing, but you need to get there in person. Because I know you, Shane, like, you love tracks, and when you showed up for the first time, it had to be unreal.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I remember, you know, first hearing about this new track being built, and I don't think I was at the first year of racing out there. So, you know, people came back. I saw it on TV, and I'm like, okay, sick. It looks great. It looks awesome. And then when I was finally able to make it out there the first time, holy cow. Just like you said, seeing it in person, you know, you crest the hill by the spectator area, and it's all elevation. That's what I love about it. It's the way I've described it is when you're behind the wheel on that track, there's really only one place on the whole track where you're driving in a straight line and you're not airborne. You're either turning, climbing a hill, descending a hill, or you're airborne. It's awesome. Makes great racing.
Yeah, and I was going to talk about, like, the best parts on the track, and you kind of covered that there's so many different obstacles that make it that great. And I know the Ziegler Cat turn, that is unreal to come off that big flyaway jump, and then you have to pitch that truck or car and go up that steep incline. I said it a long time ago that when they added that, I mean, you have to have some real balls to climb that hill and keep that momentum going. I just love every bit of the track, but, I mean, what's your favorite part?
I got to go with the split lane. I think it adds a nice monkey wrench a driver's strategy. And we see the line, the choice changes from one day to the next, from one race to the next. From one class to the next, depending on whether it's more of a momentum class or a horsepower class. And it adds an element of strategy from the drivers. What I think I love about the totality of ERX Motor Park is it combines elements of all the other tracks so well. It's the technical airborne sections like we saw at Antigo this year. It's high-speed sections like Crandon. It's the big elevation like Bark River. Drivers who dominate or do really well at those other tracks, you can't just come and flat out dominate because there'll be drivers faster than you in other sections. Nobody can just go there and flat out run away.
Yeah, and that's what I love about ERX Motor Park. And you say the split lanes. Hey, I totally agree. I love every part on that track, but you have to be up on the wheel. You have to go into the section square. You can't come in all crossed up, and it changes every lap. So, yeah, granted, you need to put laps together, and to put a lap together at ERX Motor Park, it's never going to be the same, so good luck.
Well, one added element of excitement at ERX, too, Brent, is some more big dogs, as I like to call them, joining the fray in Pro 2 and in Pro 4. Obviously, the two-time Crandon World Cup winner, RJ Anderson, making his season debut in the Pro 4, his brother Ronnie Anderson running Pro 2. And we also get to see the long-awaited debut of last year's Super Stock Truck champ, Kyle Cooper, his first ever race in Pro 2. That's a couple interesting names coming into Pro 2. What do you expect to see out of that class?
Well, hey, we love trucks, and we love the more the merrier. And anytime you put the Anderson brothers in the same camp as everyone else in the Champ Off-Road Series, we love to have them here. They're going to do big things. They're fast. They've been around a long time. Yeah, they don't get in the trucks as much as they would like to, but they put ERX Motor Park on their schedule because, hey, it's a badass track, and they're open to run here. And I believe that Kyle Cooper, I'm expecting some exciting things, not expecting big, big things out of them and nothing against Kyle, but I just hope the truck stays together good. They can learn it, and obviously we know he's a good driver. So, hey, you put some new drivers on a great track. It's going to be fun to watch.
And not only that, you add in to go back to Pro 4 a little bit, you're adding in the hometown kid, Andrew Carlson, who always puts on a heck of a show in Pro 4, as well as the side-by-sides when he's racing in front of his hometown fans and all his friends. We're still waiting on news from Johnny Greaves, too. When I talked to him at Crandon just a couple of weeks ago, he said things were looking good, that he would be able to race at ERX. We still haven't seen the official post yet from Johnny, but, you know, so take this all with a grain of salt, but maybe that's one more legend back in the field in Pro 4. And like I said, Pro 4 the last couple of years at ERX has just been unbelievable. The track being as challenging as it is and so much different terrain on it, it lets other drivers shine a little bit. And we've seen Kyle Chaney lead some laps there. We've seen Scotty Lawrence do well there before. It evens the field so well in Pro 4. I think it's going to be worth the price of admission again, as it has been the last couple of years.
Yeah, it never disappoints. And RJ Anderson, he'll be ready, locked and loaded. And that Pro 4 class, Andrew Carlson, you talk about pressure, but I can't imagine. I mean, you would think, Shane, there has to be a lot of pressure on Andrew. He's been around a while now and doing great things in the sport. But just all the headaches leading up to it, not calling them so much headaches, but the build to make sure that the weekend goes great. I know they have a lot of great people that work with them, but man, that's a lot to put on your plate between side-by-sides and Pro 4 and making sure dad stuff's all in line. And you know, you want to present yourself well.
Well, just like we saw in round 3 at Crandon and Pro 2, when Keegan Kincaid finally got the monkey off his back and won a race. I think, you know, going back to your hometown track and feeling at home, that can give you a big boost of confidence. That's why we always see Carlson do so well at ERX, I think.
Yeah, I remember when he won his first ever career pro light race at his hometown track. That had to be the best day in his life in racing because, I mean, where else could you do it any better and a better facility for himself? And he's a great race car driver, and I'm excited to watch him at his hometown track because he only got one race in or two races in the Pro 4, so the more times you run those things, the better you get. So I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, and the flip side of that coin, running a limited schedule just like RJ Anderson is, that just lets you hang it out a little bit more when you do show up with that truck. So I'm looking for big things from the entire Pro 4 field, no doubt about that. Another class that I think is going to be really impressive at ERX, it's been impressive all year through the first four rounds, Pro Light. Arguably the race of the weekend at Antigo in round 2, those four trucks all battling for the lead in the final two laps. As it stands right now, Kyle Greaves, Trey Gibbs separated by 4 points. Matt Wood living up to his dark horse status. He's sitting there with 2 second-place finishes this year, 3rd in points. What do you expect from Pro Light when we go to ERX?
Well, I know we like to say it a lot, but I definitely believe the rest of the season the gloves are going to be off because they want to win. Each and every one of those race car drivers, they get that smell of the lead and they get the taste of being out front. They know that they can beat Greaves. It's not easy, but if you run your race and you show up all prepped and ready to go, there's a lot of great race car drivers in that field. I think we're going to see a flat-out brawl to the end, and I couldn't tell you who's going to win. Yeah, Greaves really puts a big green light in my head going, yeah, you know, if he does everything right, it's hard to catch him. But the way Matt Wood's been running, a lot of other drivers have a shot at this.
Yeah, and if you'll remember, a couple of years ago, ERX was the place where Carson Parrish got a win in Pro Light. I think that was his only Pro Light win. And again, just like I talked about with Pro 4, something about ERX, it's the magic formula where it levels the field so well that when you look at this Pro Light field, some of the other guys, Maddox Bailey, Brody Eggleston, who already has a win this year, there's a lot of drivers that you could single them out and say they absolutely have a chance at ERX.
Right, Johnny Holger, he really does well at those natural terrain, just high elevation tracks. He's one to watch. I mean, he's been struggling a little bit in the Pro Light, just trying to get that thing dialed in. But Trevor and the guys are really doing what they need to do to make that truck fast. So expect good stuff at ERX Motor Park. Brody Eggleston, there's tons of talent that at any given time they can win. And that's what I love about the Pro Light class.
Well, on the last episode, Brent, we talked quite a bit about the pass that everybody was talking about between CJ Greaves and Jimmy Henderson, and we also gave some shine to Jimmy Henderson for getting that first career Champ Off-Road win in Pro 4. And a little bit later, we'll talk to Kyle Ambrosiak, who got his first win in Champ Off-Road in stock truck at Crandon in round 4. So let's talk about some other drivers who could be next in line to get their first Champ Off-Road win. What do you think about some of these guys? Mentioned this one a little bit ago, Matt Wood and ProLite. Already has 2 second place finishes this year. Do you think his first win is just around the corner?
Absolutely. I really believe that Matt Wood is right there. I mean, when you can finish up on the podium, you know you got a quick truck. He really likes to stretch your legs in that truck and get it rocking and rolling. I mean, I'll tell you, if you get him out in clean air, it's hard to catch Matt Wood. He's in a great piece. And yeah, I can see him winning at ERX Motor Park. He's just calm, cool, and collected. And for being an independent race car driver, he's doing awesome things.
Yeah, he's an easy guy to root for, just being a privateer. You know, we had Chad Rayford on the show just a couple days ago, and same story. It's easy to root for really talented drivers who are fighting the battle against not only the other drivers, but also the other drivers' budgets. It's great to see the success that Matt Wood is having. Like you said, he's in a great truck built by Doug and Chad Matag, California Off-Road Designs, just like Trey Gibbs, by the way. So that's a really good showing for COD to have two Pro Lights in the top three in points.
Yeah, and that's what they knew they needed to do to win in the Pro Light class. You have to have a good truck, have to have a good crew. Matt Wood, he's fast behind the wheel, and like you said, the Matags, they're no slouch in off-roads. They know how to build winning trucks, and that Pro Light class is going to be fun to watch, but I believe Matt Wood's got a shot to get his first career win here.
Yeah, I agree with you. So we give a lot of love to the pro drivers on the show, and for good reason. They're the well-known names, but I've been keeping my eye on some sportsman drivers this year too that are still looking for their first wins in Champ Off-Road, but they're getting close. Pro-Am Side-by-Side, we talked a little bit about Kyle Sharkey on the previous episode. He's leading points in Pro-Am, still looking for his first Champ Off-Road win. But man, winning in the side-by-side classes is so tough, especially when consistency alone can get you the championship. How close do you think he is?
Well, he's very, very close. I believe he's right there, and you have to be consistent, and that's what we talk about week in and week out. If you want a points championship, you have to be there in the end. And granted, everyone loves to win, but in that Pro-Am side-by-side class, there's a lot of great talent, and you have to make sure you're there in the end. You can't have 2/3 and then 3/12. You know, you have to be consistent. And I think Kyle Sharkey's opening up some eyes, and I think he's there to stay.
Yeah, no lies detected on that at all, Brent. Another driver who has been very close this year, this time 1600 buggies, Colton Burns. Remember, he was running right near the front, threatening for the win at Antigo. He ended up settling for third in that race. He finished third one of the races at Crandon as well. He's been showing a lot of speed, and we've talked about him a couple times. This is his fourth year racing 1600 buggy. He started when he was 14, so he's only 17 years old. It feels like he's close, but man, the names in that class, namely John Fitzgerald, Mike Seafelt, that is a tough, tough class. Two really tough drivers to get out front of.
Yeah, and, you know, you have 2/3. That's a great accomplishment in itself. But at the same time, when you name those guys and Bruce Fraley's behind both of those drivers and giving them the best of the best, you literally have to be on your A game. And to be Colton Burns, you got to hope for something, maybe a mistake or a breakdown to happen, because I just don't think you're going to chase Fitz down or Seafelt just like that. You really have to put it together. And not saying he can't do it. Third's awesome, but to get that top spot, I think he's got what it takes, but he's going to have to be perfect.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. And like I said, he's racing against guys who have, what, 100 times as many laps in a 1600 right. car? I mean, Fitzgerald and Seafelt, they're basically pro 1600 drivers. So for him to be doing well, it's remarkable, and it's a sign that, you know, he's here to stay in 1600 and he's going to be competitive. But yeah, to beat those guys, especially when they're on top of their game as they have been, as they're, you know, the top two in points, you have to catch lightning in a bottle on any given day just to run alongside them, let alone try to stay out front.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's never going to be, and that's what's so cool about off-road racing. There's a lot of things that can take you out, but you've seen in the past, if you get your ducks in a row, you can really do big things in this sport.
Well, another driver doing big things in mod cart, Avery Hemmer. Her worst finish so far this year is fourth. She finished second and fourth at Antigo, second and third at Crandon. she's showing a lot of speed, and we maybe saw a weakness a little bit in Porter and Glazy, who won the first three rounds. He really struggled at Crandon Racing in the mud, just like a lot of other drivers did. It feels like Avery Hemmer is right there. She's close.
Yeah, and it's another class that's really challenging. It's tough. I mean, you have a lot of young drivers, and I have a lot of drivers that I've been watching the last couple of years that have a chance to make those next steps up to different divisions. And what Avery's doing is a stepping stone, like I like to call it. And she's very consistent. And, man, that would be awesome. We love to see new winners, and she's definitely got the speed to do it, I believe.
We like to see new winners. I think the other drivers in Mod Cart just like to see anybody but Porter and Glazy running out front, to be honest with you. Which is a testament to him and the team and how well he's done over the past year plus. You know, obviously he's the defending champ, won about half the races last year, so he's a tough kid to beat.
Yeah, he's fast. Like I said earlier in the year when we were talking, Shane, that he's a hell of an athlete. He knows how to play basketball, and he's fast up and down the court. It just shows in a car. He doesn't lose anything. He's really quick behind that wheel.
Well, hey, for what it's worth, Avery Hemmer, she races AMSOIL Championship Snowcross, too, and wins races in the winter season as well. Not only that, but she's from Nowthen, Minnesota, which is just a couple miles away from ERX. So this is her hometown track coming up, too.
Yeah, hometown track, and that's where you would love to do it. And no different than Andrew Carlson. You know, they want to win in front of their friends and family, and you want to win anywhere you go, but it gives you a little bit more incentive to throw a W down at your hometown track.
And if you'll remember, too, her Mod Cart running mate, Tristan Hinton, picked up his first Champ Off-Road win right there in Elk River. That's his hometown as well. One more driver I want to single out here who it seems like he's close. And you and I have talked about Vincent Jaeger, you know, off the microphone a handful of times because, again, Light Buggy has been dominated by Stingel and the Schultz twins for the last few years. But we've watched Vincent Jaeger get faster and faster each and every year. And then round four, the mud race at Crandon, he was leading the race. He was holding off Colin Schultz. And then a lapped car got in the way and it cost him the lead and he wasn't able to get it back. So he was that close. You know, it was beyond his control. It was a rookie that was going a lap down and just didn't know how to get out of the way properly. That cost Vincent Jaeger a win, possibly. He's the closest out of this bunch, if you're asking me.
I believe so. I mean, like we talk about, you have to do everything right or you have to be perfect, which is nobody's perfect. I don't care who you are. But Vincent's doing all the roles. He's putting himself in the position to win, and things like that are going to happen. Look at Rayford, you know? I mean, he got caught and went through the caution the wrong way, had to make a pit stop. I mean, things like that are going to happen. You want to be perfect. You can't set everybody where you want them to win. You have to go through all the obstacles, and I believe Vincent is right there.
Yeah, absolutely, Brent. There's no shortage of storylines. All these drivers, they're going to be bringing their A-game to ERX Motor Park, and you know who else always brings their A-game to every track at Champ Off-Road? That is AMSOIL. Remember to visit AMSOIL.com for all the products that protect and maximize performance in all of your vehicles and motorized toys, and use that convenient AMSOIL product guide to find exactly what you need and get fast shipping directly to your doorstep. AMSOIL, run with us.
Our next guest on the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by AMSOIL is Kyle Ambrosiak. Kyle, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Good, good. Just clicking things along this year and going to go through a lot of the background of what you did as a kid growing up to now. I mean, you started off, I mean, Stan Ambrosiak, Class 6, Class 8, I mean, Pro 2. I mean, when you got into the field, it was pretty cool to see just the family name keep going.
Yeah, my grandpa actually got started out off-road racing by helping the Zillish brothers. After a couple seasons of that, he said he was there every weekend anyways, and he decided to build that Class 6, the black and red Chevy Blazer. And then he eventually went to Pro 2. I grew up watching off-road racing my whole life. And then my dad raced dirt modifieds, and eventually I started doing that. I always wanted to race off-road, but never really had the time or funds. I went with two of the guys from work to go watch races at Crandon, brought my wife with. And after the races, she's like, why don't you race something like this? This is way cooler than Circle Track. And that was game over after that. A week later, I was buying a truck chassis.
That's the first time I've heard the story, any story be told that way, that it's the wife pushing someone into off-road. Usually it's, you know, a lot of the time it seems like it's the wife trying to slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, she loves the off-road. She didn't like the circle track that much.
You were a racetrack kid at dirt tracks and at off-road tracks. I mean, do you have any like really great memories of being a kid at the racetrack? Because Brent and I were the exact same way. We grew up at off-road racetracks. So.
Well, I always loved watching my grandpa race that Blazer because he won a lot with that thing.
Yeah, I can remember that from when I was a little kid watching at Crandon. I'm sure Brent, like he said, remembers the same thing.
Yeah, turn one, usually you had the whole shot about every race there.
So Kyle, those people that you came up with, you know, like you said, your grandpa was a very accomplished racer. The Zillish brothers, fans who are, you know, have been around in the Midwest for a while will remember that truck being up front all the time in Class 13 and Sportsman 2. How much do you still lean on those people for guidance and, you know, what have you taken from them that still works with you today?
Yeah, I listen. My grandpa gives me advice after every race. I talk to Jared Zillish after pretty much every race. And he'll give me some pointers. So, yeah, I listen to them guys quite a bit.
So, since you started in stock truck, I mean, it hasn't been easy. I mean, you've went through a lot of ups and downs. But, I mean, it's been a slow but a steady climb. I mean, take us through the beginning days of your stock truck.
Yeah, we built that truck from start to finish in, like, I think, like 3.5 months, me and two of the millwrights I work with. And when was our first season? I think 2021. We finished the truck at 3 a.m. before the first Antigo race. We didn't get no practice or nothing. And I chose to start dead last, I think like 13th. And by halfway caution, we're up to 5th already, our first ever race. But the truck started overheat, so we had to pull off. And the second day it did the same. But we got one podium our first year. We got a second place at Bark River. And then last year, I think we got 5 podiums for sure. I mean, we had leading it at ERX last year. Hit that tire, ripped the right front off, hit the wall. We had to restub the truck. Then Crandon led every lap to the last half a lap. We dropped the valve in the engine and took second on 7 cylinders.
So with coming up just short those couple of times and, you know, like you said, 5 podiums last year, you built some momentum a little bit. Did it feel coming into this year like that first win was just a matter of time?
Yeah. I thought you guys are bad luck because every time you said that, something would happen to me on the track.
Hey, Jimmy Henderson told us the same thing at Antigo this year, and it ended up working out all right for both of you, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you finally got the monkey off your back. You had your first win. Of course, you get robbed of the podium interview because it was a rain day and we're trying to keep everything, you know, moving along. But you were up against a lot there. The weather wasn't on our side, obviously, but you got out front, and then you had Brian Piott all over you for like 5 laps, and then Corey Holcher was all over you towards the end. You were able to hold on through all that, take your first career win. What was that feeling like to hold off against two of the fastest guys in the class and get your first win all in one shot?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome deal. My crew was actually happy that we were racing because they say I race better in the mud. But yeah, once we got past Piott there, he wasn't going away. My spotter, as soon as Corey got past Piott, my spotter let me know, so I couldn't slow down, really. The last lap, I was pretty conservative just because I knew I had a lot of distance and I didn't want to f*** up. But otherwise, it was an awesome feeling getting our first win for the team. And also, we got the extra 1,250 from the Forest County Potawatomi.
We talk about stock truck, and just to be there at the end, they always say, you know, to finish first, you have to finish. And, I mean, is this huge on your part in your racing career so far? You've broke down so many times, and not a lot of it's been your own fault. It's a lot to overcome, but do you think you're surpassed that now?
Yeah, I think we're surpassed that. We kind of found what breaks on the truck. Like, when I hit that tire at ERX, I was actually the right front lower control arm bushing went out, and every time I was landing off a jump, the truck was pulling to the right. I didn't notice it till after I watched the videos, but so when I landed on that first double, the truck jolted to the right, and then I landed on the tire, so now after every like 3 weekends, we put brand new lower control arms on the truck. There's a lot of stuff that we change out before it breaks now.
Coming from a dirt track background, was that kind of an adjustment that you had to make? Maybe even to your approach as a driver? You know, off-road is so much more survival-based compared to dirt track racing where it's, you know, lightning fast heats and it's just all about the speed and all about the setup. Was that an adjustment you had to make?
Oh yeah, that was a lot of adjustment with these trucks because you can break them real easy. Just from landing on the gas too hard off a jump or, yeah, circle track cars, it was pretty much just wide open, balls to walls, and you didn't have to worry about just braking from normal racing unless you, you know, hit somebody. Here, these trucks break so easy with all the stock suspension parts on them yet.
So, Kyle, coming into ERX, what's your big intentions? I mean, granted, you guys are busting butt to get that truck back together once again, even though you're coming off a win. What are you looking forward to about the ERX motor part?
Yeah, we had a good run there last year, and the truck was fast. So we're going to change up the gear ratio a little bit. And my boys are grooving up a new set of tires. They want to try in that sand there. But yeah, I think the parts are supposed to come in tomorrow for the gears, and this weekend my dad's going to put them together for us, so we'll have a new set. So we should be able to make the podiums there.
So part of the challenge is that you're racing in the same class with Corey Holcher. He swept ERX last year. Like you said, you're there, you're running up front, but facing that challenge of trying to dethrone the champion who does really well at ERX, you know, how does that affect your mindset going into these next two rounds?
Right now, we're only second place in points. We're not really worried about the points. We're just going to push for wins until we take the lead, or if we can take the lead. But yeah, it's just can't make them little mistakes like we did last year is the biggest thing. And maybe Corey will have some bad luck, which doesn't seem to happen very often.
So do you feel that all this prep and everything you're doing for the rest of the season, do you think it'll be more likely you won't have to pay attention as much to these parts that you've been replacing throughout the season? Or do you think that you're going to have to keep doing what you're doing to stay up top?
I think we'd have to keep doing what we're doing to stay up top. I mean, racing with Corey is, and actually Piot, it's, you can run wide open door to door and you don't got to worry about, you know, somebody taking you out. Some guys drive really respectfully to everybody. And it's just an awesome time racing with them.
Do you think now that you got that big win out of the way, do you think it's going to be a lot easier mentally to go into the weekends knowing that, hey man, I can finish a whole race, the truck holds up and we can win? Do you think that makes you look on to your future now, like, hey, we figured it out and now let's have fun?
Oh yeah, for sure. Now I'm just ready for more wins once we finally got that off our back. But yeah, the crew's ready, everybody's ready. They've been busting butt on the truck for this whole week and all next week yet. This weekend they'll be over, I'm sure.
You know, let's talk about the hard work that goes into this. You said on the podium after round three at Crandon that you were basically working nonstop since Antigo just to even get the truck back ready. When you're in the middle of a racing season, you know, what does your day-to-day life actually look like? How often are you working on the truck? How many hours are you putting in on this thing?
We try to work on it probably about four nights a week. And I work a, you know, 7-to-3 job at the paper mill, and my two pick guys that come also work there. But we're on call 24/7. There's a lot of times where one of us got to leave because we get called back into work. But pretty much I work on it as long as I can until my wife calls me back into the house.
Good that you brought that up, because not only are you dealing with this racing program, and like every sportsman racer, you're working to keep everything going. You and your wife welcomed a baby boy this spring. So you have like a lot on your plate right now. I guess what I want to know is, when do you actually sleep?
Yeah, you don't sleep too often. And yeah, I couldn't go to the race banquet this last year because the baby ended up being born a month earlier than it was supposed to. So he's 5 months old now. Yeah, my wife's a pretty amazing wife for what she does. She takes care of all the kids while I'm in the garage working, watches all the kids while I'm racing. I got two girls and a boy, so three kids we're bringing along every time.
And she still wants you to keep showing up?
Yeah.
Wow. Cut from a different cloth, I suppose.
Yeah.
How important is it for you, being that you grew up at the racetrack, that you're able to share that experience now with your kids?
Oh, it's awesome. I love it. My one daughter films all the races on our Ambrosiac Motorsports Facebook page. She does live. You know, my three-year-old, she just yelling my name the whole time, dad, dad, dad. But that's awesome. It's pretty cool to be able to do this with my kids now, kind of how I got to do it when I was a kid.
So Kyle, what's your future look like? I mean, you're a young race car driver. I know you love circle track racing. Now this is your new love, but what's in it for Kyle Ambrosiak? Do you think you'll move up another class?
Yeah, we've been thinking about that a lot, actually. We don't know yet for sure, but we might put the truck up for sale after Crandon, and we're thinking about building the super stock. So that's where we'd like to go. Them guys,
yeah, that's a great class.
They just race hard.
You know, obviously that's the natural progression, but man, that class is like, you know, that's elite level sportsman racing.
Yeah. And we built this truck in my three-car garage. I want to build a shop next year. And then we'll build a super stock.
You know, obviously you have a rich racing background, and, you know, you face the challenges that you face building a sportsman off-road racing program, and you've reached the top step on the podium now. Have you learned any, like, hard lessons throughout your two-plus years in short course?
Yeah, don't cut any corners on the truck, because usually if you cut corners, something's going to break.
You keep winning, though, buddy. I think you're gaining attention already. You just keep doing what you're doing and keep putting in 120%, and it's showing your progression. You're really, really quick, and it seems like when you hit your marks and slow down, you go fast, and it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think that's, I think one of the biggest things is I was trying too hard.
Certainly, we're happy that you're able to get that first win out of the way, and we expect big things out of you, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for spending some time with us, Kyle. Best of luck to you at ERX rounds 5 and 6. Look forward to seeing you there.
All right, thanks. See you guys there.
Well, that's all we have for this episode of the podcast. We will have one more episode out before we go to ERX Motor Park for the ERX Off-Road National rounds 5 and 6. So look for that, and we'll talk to you again soon.
For Shane Stensny, I'm Brent Smith, and we'll see you next time here at the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.